There are awards to encourage new generation creatives and ones to recognise the work of arts veterans. But what about those hard workers who are mid-career? Welcome to the FAME Mid-Career Awards, and today we meet one of this year's winners, actor, writer, dancer, choreographer, producer and director, Amanaki Lale Prescott Faletau, who's of Tongan descent. Her career has included scripts for film and TV and several appearances in front of the camera in the Breaker Operas, The Panthers and The Pact. Amanaki plans to use the $15,000 FAME prize to take one of her own shows on tour. In 2013, Amanaki co-founded the performing arts collective Whenau Whetau to amplify the voices of Māori and Pacifica trans and queer artists and launched the Tamaki Makaurau-based Whenau Festival. Amanaki says the award recognition means a great deal to her.
Being a trans Tongan woman in this industry, it hasn't been the easiest road. I know even just normal, like cisgendered people find it hard to survive in this industry, and to be a trans woman and still thriving in this space and being acknowledged for it as a massive deal, not just for me, but for my community as well as my family, because my family has been like, you've been doing this for a while, don't you think you should hang it up now?
Oh, no.
So it feels nice to be acknowledged. And to, I mean, it's always lovely to get extra coin on top of that as well. So I'm really grateful, humbled, and so happy.
You know, if you were starting out now in 2022, do you think there would be more acknowledgement, more acceptance, more empathy, more openness?
I think we've definitely moved. Like when I first started, we've definitely progressed forward. I mean, now I'm in a space where I'm constantly asked to jump on like advisory boards when it comes to like trans narratives in our industry, when it comes to theatre work and writing for film. And if there's a trans narrative, I'm really fortunate and lucky to be hit up to step in and speak towards those narratives. Whereas back in the day, when I was hired as an actor or as a performer, I never really had much of a say, even though I felt like the narrative was a little bit off and it made me feel a certain type of way. I didn't feel like I was in a position to speak up or say anything because I was young. But at the same time, back then, it was just anyone was writing our stories. And so now we're in a space where people are really acknowledging the queens and the narrative and the people who live according to these narratives and really asking for some advice. And I think it's only right, but also it's beautiful to have the community be more involved with these storylines and these themes that are wrapped around our lived experiences.
Are there more stories and are they being told better, do you think, on stage, on screen?
I mean, I would love to step away from the story being wrapped around their transition and like prostitution and sex work, because a lot of it is still kind of wrapped around those themes. But I mean, it's like a double-edged sword, you know, like anything to get any of our community on screen and on stage and on a platform, but at the same time, it'd be nice to kind of step away from those themes and those ideas, because it's just like so old. Like we're talking about that we're more than just that. We're more than just hairdressers and makeup artists. Some of us are lawyers, some of us are CEO of companies, and some of us are award-winning writers. So it's like, I mean, there are more stories about us out there, but I would love to have more like graduated stories where we're not so much always talking about. I understand it's important to talk about, you know, the journey of a trans person and their transition, but it's like we're more than just that journey, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, completely understand. What are some of the stories that are fermenting for you, you know, stories that you're thinking about wanting to write, again, either for screen or stage?
I know some of the girls right now are like, getting married. Like the simplest stories of a trans person getting married is really unique and really rare, but it's not spoken about. Like it's like a fantasy for trans people to be talking about love and talk about marriage and having kids. Like for our community to see more stories like that is a lot more meaningful. It impacts us more in a different way rather than talking about old stuff that is just like, oh, we're so done with that. Some of us are not even like that anymore. But I guess like to the normal general people, I guess they would never think of that, because like marriage on theatre and in screen is so like normal and everyone does it all the time. But a trans wedding, not many people really talk about that. But to us, it's like such a big deal. It's like people really overthink our stories. It's like, it's not that deep, my dear. Like, we all want happiness and we all don't want to die alone. So let's start writing those stories about us, eh?
I was thinking of you too when I was looking at coverage of Yuki Kihara's exhibition at the Venice Biennale and these beautiful images she has of Whawhine and the international response to the work. And for them there, it feels like an, oh my God, why didn't we know about this moment?
I've known Yuki and her work for a while, and Yuki's part of the Whine Festival, which is like the first Pacifica Pride Festival I produced last year. Well, the Pride Festival, and it was meant to happen this year as well, but it got postponed, so now it's in October, and Yuki's doing an arts work. Like she's coming in to do just basically speak and to do a lecture at the festival, and the festival really highlights some of our iconic queens in New Zealand. And really nurturing that relationship with the iconics and some of the emerging artists that are coming through. And Yuki is definitely one of those queens, and who I respect and who I call auntie, because alongside her, there are so many other iconic queens from a generation. Linda Lipo, who does fashion, Felicia, who works in public health, and they're all good friends in their circle of friends. And so some of those iconic queens are still talking about whawhawhinga, like the old traditional whawhawhinga, and they do it so much more better than I do. So I was like, you do that, darling. You keep in that lane, you keep doing that. Let me talk about what some of our younger ones are really facing and going through right now, because we're definitely from two different generations. We have our own specific journeys and we're from two different generations, but we all kind of face similar issues still to this day.
The young ones coming through, I mean, you're probably an auntie for them, actually, when you think about it now, though, you're still young.
Oh my gosh,
I'm an
yes, I just
auntie.
got called auntie this last weekend. I was like, don't call me that. I'm so used to that.
It's with respect and with a great deal of love. Your way into this seems to be your dancing was that your first kind of artistic love, do you think? Damn good at it, and had so much success. But was that what gave you confidence as a performer dancing?
Yeah, I mean, I've been dancing since I was a kid. I used to dance for Paris Gobal at the Palace when it first originally started. I was one of the first members from Royal Family. And it really birthed from there. And then I went to study at Pacific Institute of Performing Arts. I went in as a dancer and then I left as a writer, director. I had so many tools under my belt. And I'm so grateful for the school because they really did train us to be not that one type of artist, to ensure that we had multiple hats on, to ensure that we had constant work, and that we weren't just hired just to dance, and we weren't just hired just to be an actor, and then we weren't just hired just to be a writer. That the more multiple hats we had, the more I guess work we would be able to get, because we wore multiple hats. And so I'm so grateful for my drama school. But yeah, dancing is my go-to because I do it so naturally and I'm so dramatic.
It's a lovely thing. Mind you've had writing success too. And I was reading that Inky Pinky Ponky, you've got New Zealand On Air funding to turn that into a TV series. Is that still happening?
Yeah, we go into pre-production in August, but also I'm working on a feature film as a writer, a film called Phoenix, which is another a trans narrative. I have a couple of scripts under me, but I'm just trying to really decide which one I'm planning on putting out in October at the Whine Festival. A lot of the time, I'm just like on the go, on the go, on the go. Because at the same time, I'm in rehearsals for a digital work that Whine Whitau is doing, my dance company, as well as we have a tour in October and the Cabaret Festival in September.
Holy moly, that's exhausting.
and then my 9 to 5 on top of that.
Well, I mean, and with this mid-career award, the 15 grand, I think that prize money, you have very sure what you want to do with this, which is a national tour of Fever.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it. I'm really nervous. I'm so excited. I'm excited for New Zealand to see some beautiful trans bodies on stage. Yeah, it'll definitely help benefit the tour because I was just like, I want a bit of a change of the costumes. I want something a little bit more sexier. So I'm like, yes, this will help. So it's definitely gonna benefit the tour and the girls. I'm really grateful now, and I'm so lucky.
What's the story that Fever Return of the Uluru tells?
It's really about body sovereignty and trans bodies really reclaiming their power. and reclaiming their existence in the space. And so it's almost like what our girls would be doing if colonization wasn't so mean to us. What the girls would be look like, what would they be saying, living in their truth. Yeah, and really just embracing our bodies, embracing our existence. It's a big deal to be a trans person at the Civic, especially for me and myself and my story. Growing up as a kid, I constantly remember having to sit outside the back of the Civic waiting for my auntie to come out because she used to clean that, the Civic. And when I told her that I was performing, that I'd be headlining, my company would be headlining at the Cabaret Festival, she cried and she wished she was here, but she's back in Tonga. Yeah, fever means a lot of things for all us different girls because us girls, we're not just like some of, we have some plus size girls who are quite big and sexy and we love that. And even for them to be coming out in lingerie and doing a dance number on a bar, not only is it like, is she female and she's fully big figured, she's a trans woman and she's dancing sexy on a bar. It's just us reclaiming space, reclaiming sexiness back and yeah, and loving our bodies outside of like our own rooms, our own houses, and being able to love ourselves in the public eye, like a stage like the Civic in Queen Street, in the city, was a massive deal for us.
How important do you think the festivals, I mean, poor old Pride, you know, it's taken such a hammering with COVID and the other festivals that you've started and been involved with, like the Whenua Festival, do you think they've been significant? I was thinking also of the Pacifica Festival. You know, after a few years, it became something that people wanted to enjoy and celebrate, and it wasn't to go and stare, and it was something other. It was just wanting to be part of the energy and the movement. It feels like a sign of maturity in a way.
It's a blessing in disguise for me and my community, my family. A lot of us, we used to always look forward to going to these festivals and being a part of it because my mum puts on, she has a stall every year at Polyfest and Pacifica. But I mean, it's caused us to have to sit at home and really sit and have tough conversations with our families. And even with Pride Festival and it not happening, it's like we have to celebrate Pride at home. And a lot of the conversations we tend to ignore end up happening. So it was really lovely for me and my household to talk about Pride because my siblings were like, what does Pride actually mean? And so it was really lovely because then it was just like, we don't have to just celebrate and talk about Pride at the festivals or at these venues, but it's the most important thing is to take these topics and these narratives and everything that's been shared at the festivals and bring them home and be able to have these conversations, especially for a Pacifica person, because our families don't come to these events. My family don't go to the big gay out. They don't come to any of the Pride events because so Pacifica people, a lot of them are reserved and a lot of those spaces are quite vulgar for them. And so it was important for our community, especially the Pacifica queer community, to really be able to take these conversations home and have these conversations.
Amanaki Lele Prescott Faletau, a famed mid-career award winner and force of nature,